This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ba'd. Respected, distinguished guests, ulama-i kiram, friends, I would just like to say a few words that Hazrat Mufti Sahab and His Royal Highness Prince Ghazi bin Muhammad and Mufti Abdul Rahman Sahab are all our ulama-i kiram. And who are ulama-i kiram? Al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. They are the heirs of the prophets. They do the work which the prophets used to do. They guide us. They are like their lighthouse in the darkness which provides light and guides people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them, give them long life with sihat and afiyat. Sometimes we remember the quote of Sayyiduna Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, quoted by Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahmatullahi alayhi, Mukhtasar Minhajul Qasidin. He says, لَوْلَا الْعُلَمَا لَصَارَ النَّاسُ مِثْلَ الْبَهَائِنِ. If it wasn't for the ulama, then people would become like cattle. I think Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, was referring to ulama like Hazrat Yaqdas Mufti Sahib. So if we have these ulama, they can guide us. They can provide that light and the nur for us in the darknesses that surround us. So alhamdulillah, we are very, very honored to have Hazrat Mufti Sahib among us. And our respected Yahya Bhai Bata has great love for Hazrat Mufti Sahib. He likes, bringing Hazrat Mufti Sahib's kitabs into the general public domain, translating them in English. And, benefits the community. He has brought many of Mufti Sahib's works like Easy Good Deeds and other works like Sufi Study of Hadith, which was of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali, and other works. And this book, originally Islam or Siyasat Kya Hai, he's brought this to us as well. And mashallah, we would like to thank Yahya Bhai and Turath Publications as well. Turath literally means legacy. So he's bringing the Islamic heritage and great scholarly work for the students of the universities. Therefore, when you hear about any books of Turath, you should immediately take them and take benefit from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to benefit from these kitabs and from our ulama-i kiram. Now, we will hand over the mic to Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera Sahab. And as our respected Hanif Bhai said, I can summarize that in one word. Mufti Abdul Rahman Sahab ne saat samandar ka pani piya hai. He went around all the world and studied in various places. He's the one and only Mufti Abdul Rahman Sahab, doing lots of good work over here in London and everywhere in the world as well. May Allah accept his good words and give him long life with afiyat. Mufti Sahab.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmid deen amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد لقد أنزلنا إليكم كتابا فيه ذكركم أفلا تعقلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as the Quran reads, and now we have sent down to you people a scripture to remind you when you not understand. Then I'm going to quote a hadith. I have a very short amount of time. I'm going to quote a hadith which is related by Imam Tirmidhi. In it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks. There's a discussion about the challenges that are going to face the ummah. And the one thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds with is the importance of the Qur'an. And he mentions a number of the characteristics of the Qur'an and how the Qur'an will help, especially in times of challenges and darkness and temptations and strife. And that's an apt description of our contemporary times. But in there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, among a number of other things, هُوَ الَّذِي لَا تَزِيغُ بِهِ الْأَهْوَاءُ وَلَا تَلْتَبِسُ بِهِ الْأَلْسِنَةُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ مِنْهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ. The ulama will never be quenched by the Quran. They can never be satiated completely. There's always more. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا يَخْلُقُ عَلَىٰ كَثْرَةِ الرَّدِّ. It will never become worn or old or weary. There'll always be something fresh about it. And finally, وَلَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ. Its wonders will never cease. And today, this book that we're looking at, which I'm supposed to introduce. I mean, I only got my hands on this copy just before the program because it was a rush job that we did, right? I think we got this book, I think, typeset and designed and everything in about 3 days, including the Islam and politics. So maybe I should say that if you see anything in there short of perfection, then there's an excuse for that, inshallah. Anyway, so today it's all about that. The Quran, if you want to put it simply, it's a mu'jiz. It's an inimitable miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's timeless. All the other miracles of the other prophets, as one hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim speaks about, it says that every prophet that came, ma min anbiya'i min nabiyyin illa utiya ayatum min al-ayat. Every single prophet was given a sign. Now if you look at the signs of all of the other prophets, they were something that you would have had to capture with maybe, there was no YouTube in those days. It was something that was time specific, something that was witnessed by the people there. For example, the staff of Musa, Moses, peace be upon him. It was there, it created the effect for the time. We have the history of it, we are reminded of it. But in terms of something that still continues, what the Prophet ﷺ says at the end of that narration, he says that, I have been given the Quran. Wahyun, I've been given the revelation. And then he says something very interesting at the end of that narration. And he says that I would like to be aktharuhum tabi'an yawm al-qiyamah. I would like to be with the greatest following on the Day of Judgment. He links that to the Quran. And I think that's very pertinent. Reason is that the Quran is a living miracle. And it's not the time to go into that in depth right now. But the Quran will continue to reveal things. And just one of those aspects is what is trying to be encapsulated in this book. So, the people of Arabia, whether they were believers or not, there's numerous stories from the early seerah that you find that when the Quran was being recited, they were just totally mesmerized, taken aback, despite the fact that they hated the Prophet ﷺ so much at the time. There's a famous incident related by Ibn al-Jawzi in his Al-Muntadham, speaking about Umar radiallahu anhu's initial attraction to Islam, which is when Surah Al-Haqqah was being recited, and he was in the Haram area. And when he started listening to it, it started beautifying his heart and illuminating his mind. But he couldn't openly stand there and listen, so he went and hid behind the cloth of the Kaaba. And it was an amazing interaction, where he then finally said, هَذَا وَاللَّهِ قَوْلُ شَاعِرٍ. This must be the words of a poet. And then the next verse in Surah Al-Haqqah, which the Prophet ﷺ then recited, was, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. These are not the words of a shair. I mean, so little do you believe. So then Ibn Umar is then interacting with this, you know, in his own way. Then he says, okay, then he's a kahin, because that's what they could reduce it to. They didn't have idea of beyond, you know, the eschatological ideas or metaphysical ideas. They just didn't have those. So he said, okay, he must be a kahin, a soothsayer. The next verse aptly is, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Revelation, it's a revelation from the Lord. So if it beautified even the enemies of Islam at that time, then today it will continue to do so for anybody that ponders. And this is a book all about the pondering of, mashallah, our eminent speaker here, our eminent friend, His Highness Prince Ghazi. This is exactly what this book is trying to bring together. Now, it's called a tentative guide to the themes of the surah of the Quran. If you look at it closely, I remember in the designing of this, we had to emphasize this tentative. Because there's a reason for that. I'll go into that. The reason is that the Quran is not restricted to themes, these underlying themes that people may discover. The benefit from the Quran isn't restricted to that. The benefit of the Quran is quite direct. The Quran speaks to everybody at their level. If you want more from the Quran, it will speak to you. Right? I mean, I don't know if I want to pull in some heteroglossia here, right, in terms of linguistics, where the Quran speaks for itself, because that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wonderfully composed words that will speak to everybody according to their level, according to how much they want to ponder, according to how much they want profound insight. So, in terms of what the contents of this book is, it's clearly an ijtihadi endeavor. Right, it's an ijtihadi endeavor. It's a wonderful endeavor, but the Quran Quran's guidance is not restricted to that, because it's also very direct and very clear cut in terms of the themes that it has in general. There are generally two opinions with regards to the ulama, especially the mufassirun, the exegetes of the Quran, in terms of these underlying themes that take a whole surah and bind it all together, link it all together. What is the approach to that? So nowhere in the Quran or Sunnah would you actually find any particular theme like that mentioned as mansus, as something which has been legislated or mentioned in the Sharia. It's something for people to find if they find it. So some ulama think that there is no theme. It's just direct bits of guidance that are provided and put together in a particular way. But there is another school that actually believes that there is a cohesive scheme, a theme that binds it all together. One of the most wonderful books, which I was actually introduced to in SOAS with Professor Abdul Halim, because we were doing the language style and structure of the Quran with him, and it was a wonderful course, mashallah, may Allah bless him. It's Imam Biqa'i's Nazm al-Durar fi Tanasub al-Ayati wa Suwar. It's a 22 volume book. And what it is, it's called a string of pearls, or the arrangement of pearls on the harmonious relationship of verses and chapters. He brings the relationships between the chapters and the verses together in this amazing way. Right? Of course, it's an ijtihadi endeavor. Uthman radiallahu anhu, from Amir al-Mu'min Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, there is a statement of his which says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would call the scribes to write down whatever revelation had just come down, he'd say, place these verses in that particular surah in which such and such is mentioned. From this we get the impression, understanding, that there is a secret to this of why it's clearly not haphazard, for sure. As some Orientalists may wish to say, because when they first read these books, when they first read the Quran, they can't understand what genre to fit it into. So you have the likes of Noldika and others who have had some massive criticism, because they wanted to fit it into some kind of Western genre. And the Quran has its own genre. Anyway, to now move on to the book in front of us, I believe that this book could have only come together. I don't think I've given due attention to it that I should have, because we were in such a hurry. And I, inshallah, hope to read it a lot more deeply, because it's not something, you can read it in a day. But really to benefit from it, you'd have to read it with each chapter, with the Quran by your side, and reading with reflection. That's what it's all about. It's basically must have come after lengthy reflection. I think anybody would come to that conclusion. But I know this for certain, because we've been having discussions about this book with Prince Ghazi from several months ago. And I mean, I know he's sitting here, but I'd like to mention that he's got an amazing love for the Quran. And I can tell you this because there's proof for this. The proof is altafsir.com. I don't know, there must be so many among you that have probably benefited from altafsir.com. And if you haven't, then you should. Because it's the one portal where you can pick any ayah, any verse of the Quran, and then choose which tafsir you want to see. And it's all there for free. Right? It's a massive contribution. It's a massive contribution. And that's been, I mean, how many years has that been going on for?
2000.
Since 2000. That's 18 years. Then the other thing, which is a bit of a hidden gem, and I really suggest that you look at this and benefit from this, and it's cost a lot of money, and I know this, right? It's called freeislamiccalligraphy.com, right? If you want for your masjids or your centers, you want nice calligraphy with whatever border you want, and you don't want to pay huge amounts for it, go on to freeislamiccalligraphy.com. I know the name sounds a bit tacky, right?
Sorry.
Right? freeislamiccalligraphy.com. You know, when you see free in the name, I mean, it sounds a bit tacky, but believe me, there are gems in there from some of the master calligraphers, and I know he's paid lots of dinars for each of those pieces, right? And it's all free, mashallah. So that's all to do with the Quran, and this is a thamara, it's a fruit of a lot of that labor and focus. So very quickly, alhamdulillah, the book has come to fruition. Three sections in this book. The first is, he goes through all the 114 surahs of the Quran, and he explains their theme, their main theme. He has a dominant theme, a primary theme, and sometimes there's a secondary theme. Sometimes you can link two of the surahs together in a single theme, and he's pointed all of that out. That's why I said you can just read this, but you won't retain it. It's something you need the Quran, and next to it, you need to ponder over what he's saying. The second one, I mean, this is not in any particular order, but the other major section here is that he then takes just the first 12 surahs of the Quran, which actually amounts to about 45% of the entire Quran. And then what he does in there is that he actually goes through all the verses, or the cluster of verses, and he brings them together under sub-themes that relate to the main theme. And that's the wonder of this book. Right? That's the great part of this. So you can actually go through the first 12 surahs. So for example, just in brief, if you look at Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Fatiha is supposed to be about ibadah and devotion. That's its main theme. Then, when you move over to Surah Al-Baqarah, the main theme of that is iman and belief, faith. Then when you move on to Surah Ali Imran, then it's about Islam and expression, which is submission and expression of that faith, the outer expression of your iman. So it starts off with devotion. There's an absolute profound level of devotion that is expressed in Surah Al-Fatiha, which anybody can, you know, understand. But those three are, you can say, they encapsulate the main message from the Hadith of Jibreel as well, for instance. So that's the kind, I'm just giving you a sneak peek here. I'm just giving you these tantalizing tidbits. And I hope that you will get a copy of this book and actually read it for yourself and keep it alongside you when you read the Quran. Ramadan is coming up, it's an apt time to do that. All of this is part of the ijaz of the Quran. He pays, at the end of it, he actually pays special focus, special attention to Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf is an amazing, we could spend hours on that. He speaks about it from various different perspectives, about the various different links within it, the themes within it, the objectives within it. I'll let you read that. The section which actually really captivated my attention, at least last night, was the when he links the fada'il and the virtues of some of the chapters together with the theme. So you've got the virtues and chapters that come from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet is mentioning such and such a virtue for a particular, some are sahih, some are less than sahih, but he then links the theme to it. And I just want to give you one or two examples about that because we don't have too much time. One of them is on Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, its main theme, he says, is associating partners with Allah, so shirk basically. And anything that would hinder you from that or would lead to it. I mean, God's mercy, if you don't have the absence of God's mercy, would lead a person to shirk, because it's only by the God's, by Allah's mercy that we are believers. Otherwise, if there's khidlan and the absence of that mercy and absence of that tawfiq, then we're lost souls. May Allah protect us. Then, so that's the main theme, shirk and rahmah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith related by Imam Tabrani al-Sadir, when Surah Al-An'am was revealed, there were a host of angels covering both sides of the sky. This is related by Imam Hakim actually. This version is in Imam Hakim. Then Tabrani relates that Surah Al-An'am was revealed all at once, accompanied by 70,000 angels. All right, so now you've got these two ideas. The theme of Surah Al-An'am is shirk, warning against it. Surah Al-An'am is one of those larger surahs that were all revealed together. So what does that tell you? It's being revealed at once means there's a unity here. There's a subtle idea of a unity, of everything being together. It accords perfectly with the theme of abstinence from shirk, in partnering with Allah, even in its very form. Then I'll just mention one more, Surah Al-Kahf. The theme of Surah Al-Kahf, and lots of people have probably pondered over Surah Al-Kahf because it's something we read generally more often. It's supposed to be knowledge. That's the overarching theme in everything. The Prophet ﷺ says, raised by Hakim ibn Mustadrak, whoever reads the Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, a light will be lit for him or her until the next Friday. Light is an idea of knowledge. That's how the theme is knowledge. So the light is a massive symbol, very pertinent symbol of knowledge. And again, you've got a perfect synthesis there between the theme and the virtue. I'm going to leave the rest because there's one in Surah Yasin which I wanted to mention, but in the interest of time, I'm going to move that on. One thing that I found in this book, he's actually got another section. It's a small section, it kind of comes in between, right? It kind of comes in between, I'm still wondering why you did that. But it's called assessment and discussion. So it's almost like he provides some themes and then he says, hold on. Let me give you an assessment discussion, just because you may start looking at this in disbelief that where is this author getting all of this from? Where's the backing for this? In there, he actually deals with a number of potential contentions to this whole endeavor. And that's where he, I think, very convincingly answered this. And you can actually read Hazrat Mufti Taqi Saab's introduction to it, and he explains this kind of thing there. And I believe that that's... because I remember when we were doing this book, he kept saying it has to be tentative because our actual series is a thinking person's guide. So this one, we had to change it to a tentative guide, right, for that purpose, because he doesn't want to say that this is for definite, it's convincing. In fact, he invites ulama to verify this, to ascertain these things before being convinced, if that's the case. But his humility is definitely on display here, right, which I know of anyway, but that's in display. Finally, there's a narration of Abu Dawud and Imam Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmad, which he quotes. And I think it's pertinent to mention that here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever speaks about the Qur'an according to his opinion, meaning to his own opinion, or in accordance to that which he or she has no knowledge, then let that person assume their place in hellfire. And I think this is so important, and I think this is, because we got so many random people out there doing a lot of tafsir. In fact, maybe this is not the time for this, but a survey of some of the most modern tafsirs of the last 100 years, one of the problems where we got the inhiraf fit tafsir, where it went away from orthodoxy, is because it were non-ulama who had embarked on reflection on the Qur'an. And thus they came up with some really strange ideas, and it filled up some of the most contemporary tafsir that we have, that some of them are very popular actually. One of the reasons for the inhiraf is that they didn't have a backing of knowledge. It was pure reflection, based on their context of their time, their subjectivities and so on. And that's obviously created so much of the issues that we have in the world today. Right, I'm going to finish off with actually a quote from Mufti Taqi Saab in the in his preface, in his foreword. This is what he says. He says, His Highness has also endeavoured to answer possible contentions on the nature of this novel endeavour in his scholarly introduction. It is utmost precaution on his part, meaning Prince Ghazi, that instead of insisting on his discoveries, he named his endeavour as a tentative guide. I trust that the current pioneering work will, inshallah, form a basis for further study in this intricate field. May Allah grant this work His approval, Allah's approval, and may He make it beneficial. Amen. If this is the time you've been waiting to start pondering over the Quran, which we should all be doing, then this is the time to grab one of these books, inshallah, and start pondering the Quran. May Allah grant us barakah in our journey and a blessed Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana.